And it would seem that that other UT that's orange and white that's east of here is in a peck of trouble.
Again?
Yes.
They pretty much stayed in one.
Yes, it would appear
that both
their football and former football and current basketball coaches.
Mr. Kiffin and Mr. Pearl?
Mm-hmm. Apparently...
Kiffin and Pearl.
Misled investigators of the National Collegiate Athletic Association.
Don't want to be doing that.
You know, I've dined with Mr. Pearl.
Have you? Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Just you and he?
No, it wasn't an intimate.
Sorbet?
It was an intimate evening, but it was not just the two of us in an intimate evening. We were in the same room. That's probably about, 1,000 people in the room.
I see.
But nonetheless.
And in Knoxville. Yeah, and in the arena where he coaches.
So there you go.
Really?
At least for now.
Which is now named after the women's basketball coach. I noticed that the other night. It's now the Summit.
Ah.
With two T's.
Oh, very interesting.
How about
very
that?
Interesting.
Well, that
very good.
Yeah. Sort of shows you where you're at, isn't it?
Yeah. I kind of hijacked that. Sorry. What did they do?
That's all right. Oh,
allegedly.
Assistant coaches got their salaries whacked, and they can't recruit off campus. He apparently had a little cookout at his house.
Yeah.
Coach Pearl did?
Yeah, with some high school juniors and... Then, when asked about it, he was less than forthcoming with the National Collegiate Athletic Association. So,
wow.
Yeah, anyway. So, the politicians, of course, chatting while they're not in D.C. about what they're going to do. The temporary budget plan that keeps our federal government going runs out on March the 4th. We know that. That's a week from tomorrow. The House and the Senate are out this week, so that doesn't leave them too much time. And the Democrats in the Senate want to put together this 30-day budget extension that has no cuts. The Republicans over in the House say, well, we want to put together a 30-day extension, too, but we want some cutbacks in it. So therein lies part of the problem. How much to cut is part of the problem. Who's going to get the hit is part of the problem. All brings us to the question, where are the Tea Party folks going to be in this? Will they accept it? Will they want to make amendments to it? Or does this end up getting passed along party lines? So... While not all the freshmen were Tea Partiers, the freshmen, as we talked with Bill Flores yesterday, pressing to get cuts in this deal, if at all possible. See how that works out for them. And things just keep being nasty there in Wisconsin. There may be a little bit of the eroding of support of Mr. Walker, the governor.
Was he just elected in November?
He was just elected.
That's what I thought.
Democrat pollster GQR Research found that 49% of Wisconsin voters now have an unfavorable view of the governor compared to 39% who have a favorable one.
Well, it depends on where they're getting their information. If they're, if all you do is turn on the 6 o'clock news and all they've done is stick a camera in front of some angry teacher that talks about how their lives are going to be affected, then of course that's going to make you, well, how dare he do that? It never ceases to amaze me how people just don't get it. How ignorance abounds to the point of just being pandemic-like. Because if there is no money, then things cannot be paid for. When you reach into your wallet, and if you don't have, the problem is, too often today, is that the problem is that if you reach into your wallet and you have a $50 bill that you have to pay, and you reach into your wallet and all you have is $20, guess what? You can't purchase that item. But then again, you can because you just put it on a credit card.
Push it down the road.
And now that has been passed on to the government, and that's the world that we live in now, but people just don't freaking get it, man.
And again, we've talked about...
What are you trying to say here, Chuck?
Yeah.
Sorry if I'm being vague.
Speak how you feel.
Okay.
There.
What's interesting is I heard a guy speaking yesterday saying, the FDR Democrats of 60 years ago, as much social change as they wanted, would not recognize these people today. They would not understand that this union thought process, and yes, it is union that we're talking about. We're talking about collective bargaining. The idea that it's worth it to you to make sure that I get what I want, and oh, by the way, I want it after I retire as well. They have basically made, obviously, Wisconsin and Indiana the focal point for this, but you got union organizers coming from everywhere. I heard an interesting thing yesterday. There are more people who watch the television show The Mentalist, okay? More people watch The Mentalist than the total number of people who are in a union in the United States. Think about that.
Talk about the tail wagging the dog.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. When you really want to talk about the numbers, that's what we're saying. Another discussion I heard yesterday, you know, what you're speaking of, Chase, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to throw Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security in here, too. The term entitlements, what an unfortunate word to use for what these things are. Because then, entitlement, well, that means I'm breathing air, I need to be able to get it.
See,
I need to have that.
And for me, and I know it's my political philosophy, but I'd also like to think it's because of my age. The word entitlement carries with it an extremely negative connotation.
It does, absolutely. It really does. For younger people, they're going, oh, because you're alive, you get to do this? Because that's the case, you get to do that?
Entitlement screams something that you get that you don't deserve.
I'm glad I live in Texas, which is a pretty much a right-to-work state. And if those folks want to stay up there and stew in their juices, that's fine. But the problem is we're all going to have to bail out the pension programs, every one of them, including Texas pension programs. But right now that's where the focal point is in Wisconsin and Indiana. Did you hear about...
But is this is not the end. This is just the beginning.
Oh, yeah. No. It's going to ramp up even more. A couple of interesting sideline stories. An Indiana official has been fired for a tweet that he posted calling for the use of live ammunition on the demonstrators in Wisconsin.
I see, but you don't need to go to that other extreme.
Exactly.
Either. That does nothing for counterpoint.
We're talking, reports surfaced last weekend that police in Wisconsin were considering using force to remove protesters from the state capitol. Deputy Attorney General Jeff Cox remarked, quote, use live ammunition, and he posted that under his Twitter name. When approached by Mother Jones Magazine about the comment, Cox elaborated, you're damn right I'd advocate deadly force. The magazine subsequently discovered that Cox maintained a blog, which isn't around anymore, it was called Pro Cynic, and he used some pretty inflammatory language in that. They investigated, quote, immediately, and he was fired yesterday,
yeah,
as well he should have been. On the flip side, how about the sitting member of Congress urging unions to, quote, get a little bloody, unquote. That's what Massachusetts Democrat Congressman Michael Capuno said. He told union members on Tuesday at a rally in Boston he was trying to fire up the group of union members in Boston with a speech urging them to work against any limits to workers' rights, like those that were trying to be imposed in Wisconsin. He said, I'm proud to be here with people who understand that it's more than just sending an email to get you going. Every once in a while, you need to get out in the streets and get bloody when necessary.
I would think that if a Republican had said that, given the Gabrielle Giffords shooting, that, boy, that would be ramped up rhetoric that we were all supposed to tone the heck down.
That's it. Well, again, our civility center that's going to be built in Arizona. Anyway, he came out with an apology. He said, I strongly believe in standing up for worker rights, and my passion for preserving those rights may have gotten the best of me yesterday in an unscripted speech. I wish I had used different language to express my passion. I regret my choice of words.
Isn't it interesting that we use the phrase, and I realize it's just in the story there, but you use the phrase workers' rights.
Uh-huh.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think probably what defined workers' rights 140 years ago, 130 years ago, 100 years ago, 75 years ago perhaps, what defined workers' rights then night to day compared to what are being defined as workers' rights versus bloated entitlement programs. Once again, I mean, what is your right? It is your right. It's a privilege to have a job in the first place. But you know what? The boss shouldn't take advantage of you. The boss should pay you a fair wage. And if you agree to that wage and you're comfortable with that and that's the job that you have, then you bust your butt and you get it done. But otherwise, if that's not the case, then go find another job.
Yeah.
But now what is it become? And again, the seeds of unions were great in terms of what they were trying to do, because study your history, and yes, worker conditions in a lot of places in the United States were horrible. But that's not the case anymore. We don't have grease monkey children running around on textile mills. You know, that's where the term comes from, in case you didn't know.
Right.
You know, running around and injuring themselves on things and working overnight and all hours and things of that nature. We don't have that anymore.
Deplorable conditions in mines and in factories.
Yeah, those don't necessarily exist anymore. And so, yeah, now it's pensions and health care and taking care of my brother's mother's son's cousin's former roommate. And again, we're going to have to all foot the bill for this. Because what's going to happen? They're going to go to the government, and the government is not going to be able to say no because that's their electoral base.
Fewer people are members of unions in the United States than watched The Mentalist last week. Okay? Just put it all into perspective.
Squeaky wheel, though.
Who gets to rattle the cage?